Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. You look marvelous this morning. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, now that we've done our impressions this morning, I'm in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, if you'd like to join me there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and following. I want to get to verse 23, but the first 22 verses set us up for 23 really well. So let's take a look at that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. And remember, we talked about when you read the Old Testament, as a believer, when you read the Old Testament, you have to read it through a different set of lenses. You have to read it through your sunglasses, your S-O-N sunglasses. Now, that's really good, people. Come on, that's profound. I mean, that's really profound, y'all. I guess so. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know. But there wasn't a drum roll. But thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Nicely done, by the way. Nicely done. But we have to read and interpret the Old Testament through the light of Jesus Christ, right? Because he filled the Old Testament full. He fulfilled it, is what it says. And so when we read Proverbs, we have to read it in context for how we live our life in the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So when I start reading, I'm going to stick a few words in here that aren't in your version, but it's reading it through my son, S-O-N, glasses. Listen, my sons, to the Father's instruction. Now, Jesus taught us this in John's Gospel. He said, everything that I hear the Father tell me to say, I say it. And everything I hear the Father tell me to do, I do it. And so we can look at this and see Jesus lived this lifestyle, right? He chose to live this lifestyle. That is, listening to the Father's words and acting on what the Father said. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all of your heart and keep my commands and you will live. Now, when we get to the word words here, I want us to think in terms of the word relationship. Think in terms of the word relationship. Lay hold of the relationship that you have with me with all of your heart. Everything you do with the Father is about the relationship. We often think it's about accomplishing a task or fulfilling some long list of things that we have to do, the Ten Commandments or the 20 Commandments or the 613 Commandments. But that's not it. It's all about the relationship. With the Heavenly Father, it's all about relationship. So, lay hold of my relationship with all of your heart. We could interpret that through our sunglasses. Keep my commandments and you will leave. In other words, develop this relationship and you will live. It will be well with you. Develop the relationship. Get wisdom and get understanding. Do not forget my words, that is, or the relationship, or swerve from them. In other words, stay true to the relationship. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me will bear fruit. And that's what he's talking about, the relationship. Abide in Jesus. Develop the relationship with him. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. We talked about last week, wisdom is the Holy Spirit working in your life, teaching you and guiding you, giving you instructions, the Holy Spirit. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Though it costs you all you have, develop the relationship with your Father. That's how we would interpret it, through our sunglasses, all right? Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son or daughter, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom, and I lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. In other words, guard this relationship. This relationship is your life. You know, Jesus said over in John chapter 6, he said, You search the scriptures because in them you think you will find life. But Jesus said, I am the life. Matter of fact, I am the life and the way, and I am the truth. Seek me. Have the relationship with me. You're not going to find me. You're not going to find the relationship in the Old Testament laws and commandments. You're going to find the relationship in me, is what Jesus is saying. And so we interpret this through our sunglasses once again. Guard it well, for this relationship is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on this path. Turn from it and go your own way, for they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber until they make someone fall. I don't know if you've noticed this, but evil people, wicked people, mean people, they will pester you until they get you flustered, until they create a stumbling block for you. Have you ever noticed that? You know, when I was a teenager, there was this, even in elementary school, all the way through teenager, there was this guy, I don't know what his problem was, but he always picked on me. He always wanted to pick on me. He couldn't let it go. Just every couple of weeks, he was just gnawing at me. And I think it was the seventh grade, I think is when it was, and I just had enough. And every time he wanted to fight me, just wanted to fight me. Well, I was this size, except about 40 pounds skinnier, in the seventh grade, and I was a beanpole, and he was about this tall, and just always wanted to fight, and I just couldn't figure it out. I'd never offended him. I was a nice guy to everybody, and finally one day I'd had enough. I didn't know how to fight. I'd never been in a fist fight, or I'd wrestled around with the cousins and things like that, and so he said, I'm going to meet you in the alley down from your house. I said, fine, I'll meet you in the alley. I'm tired of listening to it, you know, and so I was wise enough to call my buddy Mike and say, Mike, I need you to go with me. So Mike said, I'll be right there. So Mike came over on his bicycle, and I'm in the backyard with my mother. Dad was at work, backyard with my mother, and I said, well, I got to go down and fight this guy. And I said, I don't know how. She said, well, let me teach you how to fight. I had no idea how to fight. Never been in a fight. So she said, just hit him hard. Just hit him hard. You know. Hit him hard. Okay. Maybe I can do that. So Mike gets over there. We go down the alley, and there's Ricky and one of his friends, Gene. And Gene's been a friend of mine. I've never had a cross word with Gene. I've watched the Super Bowl at Gene's house one day, you know, just a bunch of guys watching the Super Bowl. I never did anything wrong with Gene. And so there's four guys standing in this dirt driveway, and we're staring, and we're squared off with each other, right? And Ricky looks at me and says, well, we flipped a coin, and we've decided Gene's going to fight you. Now, Gene was the size of Melinda. I'm like, man, I'm not fighting you, Gene. I don't have a problem with you. I said, you've been saying you want to fight me for 3 years now, so we're going to fight. Or we're going to walk away. What's it going to be? You throw the first punch. Well, you throw the first punch. And that went back and forth. You throw the first punch. You throw the first punch. Four guys drove up on bicycles in the dirt alley. They saw us squared off, and they knew something was fixing to happen. There used to be a rumble in the house. And so we're standing, you throw the first punch. No, you throw the first punch. You throw the first. It just went on and on. And these guys drove up and said, y'all quit doing this. And so one of them picked up a handful of sand and stuck it in my hand, said, throw it in his face. I guarantee you he'll swing at you. Don't throw sand in his face. So anyway, I'd had enough. And so he made a lunge at me, and I squared him off. He went on the ground. And I dove on top of him. I'd had enough. And when we finally popped back up off the ground, he'd cut his arm. Blood was coming all the way down. He looked at me and said, you had enough? I said, have you had enough? We did that, I don't know, 5 more minutes. I said, you're the only one bleeding here. Go home. Even after that fight, he kept pestering me. So I don't get it. So, you know, the guy that wrote this, Solomon, he probably had somebody that pestered him a whole lot when he was growing up. And he's writing this, that people who are evil and wicked and mean, they're going to do whatever they can to get you to stumble. And what he's saying is, don't buy into it. Walk away. Walk away. Walk away. Guard the relationship that you have with your Father. Just walk away from it. And I'm going to give you 3 points in a minute to help us guard our relationship. It says they cannot even sleep until they do evil. They are robbed of slumber until they make someone else fall. Walk away. Just walk away. They eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. Now, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Now, I don't know how many of you like watching the sunrise. You're either a sunrise person or a sunset person. I guess you could be both. But, you know, when the sun just really starts popping up. Let's see. Sunrise people. Let's see. 3, 4, 6. Okay. Sunset people. Oh, now we're talking. Those early morning happy people, you know, that wake up before the break of day and, let's play. Like a dog. Let's play. Sorry. But for those 7 of you who like the sunrise, it's the first gleam of day, right? It's the birds chirping in the morning. Right? Y'all have chickens and a rooster. Y'all's birds aren't chirping. They're doing something else. Or something right there. That will be supper that night. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if your chicken comes in my yard and starts doing that, your rooster starts doing that, he's going to be dinner for me, okay? I know what to do with the chicken, okay? I can take one apart. All right. I have. It's like the sun shining brighter and brighter every day. It just gets full of light, it says. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So these people that are mean and hateful, and sometimes they don't even know why they do it. That's what he's saying here. They're clueless. And you can sit and tell them all day, and they'll still miss it. They're clueless. But for us, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to the words. Once again, it's talking about this relationship. Pay attention to the relationship. Listen to me. Let's have a relationship. Let's talk. And I will help you. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep my words. And that's what Jesus did. When the Father spoke to him, he kept the words in his heart. And when it was time to go tell somebody what the Father wanted them to know, he went and told them what they were supposed to know. That's how Jesus lived. That's how we're to live. We talked about that this morning at our 9 o'clock Bible study. How we are humans walking along, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And it's the Father doing his work through us, through the Holy Spirit. We talked about the fact that Jesus was a man, just like we're human. He was human. We're human. But he allowed the Holy Spirit to live within him. He allowed the Father's words to live in him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we are in this world. We're human. The Father wants to live his life and work his life through us, and he does that through the power of the Holy Spirit. We often miss it. We look at Jesus and say, well, he was God and man, and that is so true. But he was man who had God living and working through him. You are mankind, who has God living and working through him. It's the same principle. Jesus came to show us how to live as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And the way we do it is by listening to the Father. And that's what Solomon is saying here in instructions to his sons. It says, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. So let's read it through our sunglasses here. For the relationship with our Father is life and health to the whole body. The relationship you have with the Father is life and health. Now that's pretty profound, wouldn't you say? Where else can you go that can promise life and health? And we even find wealth listed in the Proverbs here. But where else can you go to find that? There's nowhere. There's nowhere else that you can go that promises life and health and wealth and well-being except this relationship that we have with the Father. That's the promise that we have. It's health to the man's whole body. In verse 23, it says, here's the key verse I want to get to. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Let's change a word here. Above all else, guard the relationship you have with your Father. For it is the wellspring of life. Guard the relationship that you have with your Father, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, we are prone to guard relationships. We are a peculiar people that we will attach ourselves to one or two people, and we'll guard that relationship. You ladies know what I'm talking about. You have that special girlfriend or two or three, and if something comes up in your life, that's the first person you call or text or tweet or email or whatever you do, Instagram them, whatever. You know, you and no matter what happens in life, that's your fallback. You go to them and say, I need to talk to somebody. We guys, we tend to have one or two guys that we hang out with that we will share our story with. And we tend to guard these relationships. If you're married, hopefully you guard the relationship you have. If you had a relationship with your children, hopefully you guard that. Or with your parents, you guard that. And so what Solomon is saying here to us is guard the relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. Now, we'll let all kind of things interfere with that relationship, won't we? Won't we? Don't we? But I won't ask you to raise your hand because we'd all raise our hands. But there are times when we don't cultivate that relationship. We don't guard that relationship with everything that's within us. We let life and circumstances and other people get in the way of that. And we don't guard it well. And so the scripture tells us, guard it with all of your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, he said that things that come out of a man's mouth come from his heart. He also said in Luke chapter 6, verse 43, he says, from a good tree you get good fruit. From a good man who has a good heart, you get good things. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So it's easier for us to tell where we are if we look in the mirror or if we see someone else. It's easy for us to tell where we are and what relationship we have with the Father about what comes out of our mouth, the way we talk to other people, the way we talk to God, the way we talk to ourselves, the self-talk that we do. We can discover what's in our heart. And if negative, fearful, unbelieving type of words are coming out of our mouth, it's probably because we haven't been guarding the relationship with our Father, because the Father does not give us a relationship that's filled with fear and negativity and bitterness and anger, slander and those types of things. That's not from the Father in heaven. That's from the Father of lies who's trying to trick us and distort us. It's also from things that we may have learned from our earthly father who was not perfect. And we tend to act on those things as well and speak those things as well. And what the Father in heaven would say to us, let's get rid of those. That's not helping you at all. That thought is not helping you. You've heard it said before, if the thought that you have right now is not working for you, have another thought, right? It's a pretty good principle. And so if the thoughts we're having about our Father and our relationship with others isn't working for us, it's time to have another thought. It's time to rethink that thought, because if that's not working, it's not a good thought. It's not from the Father. But what comes out of our mouth, the Bible says, comes from our heart. And in our heart is where we cultivate that relationship. Now, none of us are perfect in this life, and we're going to have those days when you just feel like saying something to somebody, right? Yeah. Not in a kind way, right? Maybe even coming up with some of those words that you heard your father say, or his father, right? Those days happen. But when that happens, when you have those days, the Bible says, guard your heart. Go back and look at that relationship with the Father and say, Father, I know this isn't from you. This is coming from my past or some wound or something I have in my life. I don't want it to take over my life. I want to guard it. Look what it says. The rest of the chapter says, put away perversity from your mouths. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, verse 26, it says, make level paths for your feet. Here's something I would share with you, and that is, don't expect God to level your paths for you. We hit bumps in the road and we get so mad at God and we blame him. God, why didn't you come through for me here? Why didn't you do this for me here? I prayed, Hadn't you seen me go to church 4 weeks in a row? It's the longest stretch I've ever had, you know. I gave $2 in the offering plate. That was a whopper for me, God. And I've done all these things for you. Why didn't you show up for me? Listen, we are responsible for the path in front of us. We are responsible for leveling out the dirt in front of us and the stumbling blocks. That's what it says. You make your path straight. Don't blame God for a crooked path. He's our Father in heaven. The Bible says in James, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father in heaven, in whom there's no shadow of turning. And what that means is he didn't trick us. There's no trickery with God. He's not out there saying, well, there's Eric. He's walking down the road. I'm going to put this huge dirt pile and pothole on the other side of the dirt pile. I'm just going to really mess him up. That's not God. God is saying, Eric, there's a huge dirt pile down the road with a pothole on the side. You need to go around that sucker. Hey, maybe you need to take a different road. That's what God's saying to us, right? Amen. But if that's the road that we're on, and that's the road we need to get down to get something accomplished, then take a shovel with you. Take a rake. Take something and level out the path in front of you so that you don't stumble and fall. God does not want us to stumble and fall. The Bible says that there's no temptation which is taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to stand, but will make a way of escape. In other words, when you've got some stumbling block in the road, God has already given you a way of escape. He's already said, go down this road, go around that pothole, take a shovel with you. He's given you instruction.
I was going to say, get these people out of your life.
Get these people out of your life, perhaps. God does not want you to stumble. He loves you very, very much. Amen. So, make level paths for your feet. All right, three things, then we'll wrap up. So, what does it mean to guard the relationship? How do we guard the relationship? The first thing is, you must spend time talking with your Father in heaven.
Yes.
It's just, you know, sometimes we feel like we're just talking to God, and he ain't talking back. You ever felt that before? Right? Maybe you've been through a week of that. Maybe you've been through 5 years of that. You feel like God's not listening to you. He is. He is. God hears every word you say before you even say them. That's what God does. Yes.
I have been guilty in the past of praying answering machine message prayers.
Answering machine message prayers.
What I mean by that is I'm not expecting God to talk and I'm not giving him a chance. It's like the phone answer, he answers. I tell him everything I need to say and I hang up before I've even listened for a response. But when we speak to him expecting a response, it tends to work better.
Reminds me of a ringtone in the 80s. Nobody's home can't come to the phone. You got to wait for the beat. You got to leave your name. You got to leave your number. Got to wait for the beat. I'm sorry. It popped in my head. Such a profound thought in there. I ruined it with a ringtone. But. Only at Rock Springs Church will you hear those things. That was in the 80s. Some of you weren't born then.
So. Answering machines are voicemail.
Yeah, answering machines are voicemail. If you don't know what an answering machine is, it's voicemail now. So. Wow. I don't know, I can go anywhere from there now. But you're right, Kelly. We do. It's an answer machine. It's a voicemail thing. I do all the talking and not the listening. You know, do you know people that don't elbow anybody? But do you know people that when you sit down and have a conversation with them, they talk about themselves constantly the whole time? But if they can talk 30 minutes without breathing. Yes. 30 minutes without breathing. And all they do is talk about themselves and their issues. And you're sitting there, you know, you got a screwdriver stuck in your head. You got a shovel stuck in your arm. And, you know, you got seven legs. And you got all these problems going on. And they just go on with theirs. They never say anything about your problems. And then they what?
And then they hang up.
And then they hang up. Well, sometimes our Father in heaven feels like that with us. We go to him with all these things, and he looks at it and says, try running the world someday, right? Try keeping the clouds up and not down, and try keeping the mountains here and not there, and try keeping Mars in its orbit, right? Isn't that what he did to Job? Yeah. Well, to guard the relationship, you have to have a conversation, and it has to be two-way. It's okay to pour all your stuff out on God. He's good. He can handle that. But sometimes we need to sit and let him pour himself out on us, because that's where the solution or the comfort or the peace or the direction comes, is when we listen to him. You know, we need to see what our Father's really like. The reason most of us don't spend time with our Heavenly Father is because we don't know what he's really like, and we're afraid of him. We're afraid that we've got to say the exact words or read the exact version of the Bible. He's not like that at all. He's like Jesus. You can approach him. If you've been sick for 12 years like the woman did, you can approach him. If you were a lady of the night, you can approach him. If you were a brilliant genius, you know, like Nicodemus was, you can approach him. And he listens. Jesus gives us the pattern of what the Father is like. If you want to know what the Father's like, look at Jesus. He's in Hebrews chapter 1. He's an exact representation of the Father. Exact representation of the Father. So if you want to know what the Father's really like, look to Jesus. Study Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you don't ever read another thing in the Bible the rest of your life, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you've only got time for one of those books, pick John. If you can't read the whole book of John, pick chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. If you ain't got time for that, chapters 14, 15, and 16. Okay? And if you really push for time, chapter 15. And if you narrow it down, 15, verse 13. Okay? That's all the time you got. That's our Father. Second thing. So spend time with the Father. Second thing, share what you know about your Father with others. Sharing with others about the Father in heaven reinforces what you know to be true about the Father. It's so important. Share with others what you know about fathers. And that's why we come to church. That's why we gather together. This gathering is to share with others what we think about our Father. Right? And so from time to time, we have that opportunity to share what we know about our Father. So this morning after we dismiss, find somebody and say, I want to tell you something about my Father in heaven that I've learned this week, and share it. The third way we guard the relationship is to set healthy boundaries with others. There are people who will suck your life right out of you. They will. Now, we need to love them, we need to pray for them, and we need to help them any way we can. But there comes a time when you have to draw a boundary and say, this is crippling my walk with the Father. And there are people in your life who will cripple the walk that you have with the Father. They will shut it down. You'll get so tired of that person that you'll just get tired of God too. And they will drain you. And you know, my observation is that those of us who were born and raised in the South, we never want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know. And so we'll be nice to everybody. And we'll let them suck our life out of us, being nice to them. And I notice people that come from the North, not so much. If you're sucking the life out of me, I'm just going to tell you, you're sucking the life out of me, right? Joe's back there waving at me. Bring it up. See, that's what I'm saying, right? And so Jesus set boundaries. Do you know he avoided the Pharisees? He really did. He didn't want to be near the Pharisees. He didn't care for the Pharisees. And when they finally came, he picked on them. You know, he used some of his harshest words. You're a pit of vipers. That is your big hole with snakes in it. I mean, that's not nice.
Whitewashed, right? Tombs.
You're whitewashed tombs. That is, and you're full of dead men's bones. I mean, that's.
Jesus used some big boy words.
he did use some big boy words. And if you're a Pharisee and you're called a pit of vipers, that is not a good thing on that day, right?
Not a good thing on any
day. Not a good thing on any day. Set healthy boundaries. We don't have to be mean and cruel to people, but if there's someone that's keeping you and distracting you from this relationship you're having with your Father, you've got to guard it with all of your heart. You've got to guard that relationship. And just say, I can't be in a relationship with you now. Not where I am in this journey that I'm on. I, I've got to have some time away from you and do that. Guard your heart. Guard the relationship at all cost. And I could list a dozen more things, but those are the three key things, I think. Spend time with the Father. Share with others what you've heard the Father tell you, what you know about him. And then set healthy boundaries with other people who are distracting you from that relationship. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for offering us a relationship with you. Thank you for your presence this morning. And you're always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and our guide and helping us to know our Father better. And thank you, Jesus Christ, for making it possible for us to have a relationship with our Father, who loves us deeply, who loves us dearly, who loves us for all eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for making that possible. For it's in your name that we pray.